500 years ago, he washed ashore the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And upon the skull of the man who killed his dad, he said, I'm mad, I must eradicate piracy, injustice and cruelty, and all my sons will follow me. So evildoers will believe that this man cannot die.
The Phantom,
the ghost who walks.
The Phantom,
enemies beware, the Phantom's always there, but you won't find the Phantom. He finds you.
G'day everyone. For those who came in late, you're listening to X-Band, the Phantom Podcast. This is episode 68, The Sydney Experience. My name is Dan Fraser, and in this podcast, I'm joined by a cast of thousands. Mostly, it's Jermaine Parker and myself, roomies for a couple of nights as we attended Supernova in Sydney and the Lee Fork Memorial Bengali Explorers Club dinner, which we discussed and planned together with John Cookson in the last episode. John was there over the weekend, but he didn't make it onto the recording today, sadly. Stephen East, our other regular podcaster, was also unable to join us, but he has been promised by his wife that he can come along next year, so we're going to hold him to that and her as well. As you'll hear, we probably didn't record as much as we would have liked to, or had planned to, certainly, but we do explain that as we go on. You'll probably also hear that a good social time was had by all, and some people probably enjoyed themselves, perhaps a little more than others at times, but it was all in good fun. It's also worth noting that this is the first time in 68 podcasts that the podcast team has been able to record face-to-face and in the same room, which was a lot of fun in itself and something we'd like to do as often as we can. Look, all it would take is a few more listeners tipping money into the Chronicle Chamber Patreon account for us to be able to travel around Australia and do that regularly. Four or five of you each contributing $500 or so a month should just about do it. So that's unlikely, we understand. So anyway, we will be back on Skype after this one, and we love doing it, obviously. We do have a couple of pretty cool interviews lined up for you, and of course we're going to be reviewing all of the Phantom stories and products that come onto the market. For now, though, sit back and enjoy the Sydney Phantom Mecha Weekend Experience. Okay, so this is the start of the Phantom Weekend Sydney Pilgrimage whatever experience. It's about 11 o'clock on the Friday night, and Jermaine and I have just popped upstairs after the Friday night catch-up. How are you, Jerm?
Not bad. Sydney has officially run out of beer. All the Queenslanders have drunk it all.
Well, the Western Australians weren't getting involved at all, so like, there's, how is the Bondi water?
Yes, I was on my Coke and water, thank you. And yeah, but no, enjoy first day.
Yeah,
first
I did. Day. It was good. It took us a little while to catch up at the airport this morning while we worked out which terminal we were at.
yes. I was at Terminal... I was at Terminal 1 and you were Terminal 2, but we found there.
We did.
We went to the comic book shops.
Yeah, for what they were. King's Comics was good.
Very slick.
Very slick. Very. I don't think Peter Kingston or Dietmar would like it. It was too slick and stylish.
Yep. Comic Kingdom. I had to have a shower afterwards.
it was dead and dying, let's be honest. And then we had a good feed.
Yeah, I had some fish head.
Yes. And we might post some photos of Germ licking out a fish head with this podcast.
Luke will love that. Luke, he's not here this time, but he has to have, every year, he's had to have a mandatory photo of me eating something. So he'll be very thankful that there's a photo of me eating that something. And a fish head, I reckon that will cap it off.
Awesome. So that photo, Luke, that's just for you. Then the afternoon, the two young bucks that we are, we came back to the hotel room, and what did we do exactly?
Slept.
Slept like logs. We must have had two and a half hours sleep here in the afternoon whilst all the Fru Boys and the artists and everybody were setting up at Supernova, and Bradley Peach went out to Supernova and...
brought everything.
Yes, it's all gone. Meanwhile, we were just soaring away in the hotel room, but then we had the Friday night catch up and,
booze up.
Well, you didn't booze up.
No, it was good. We had a good night. I thought it was small, but friendly.
You met a few people for the first time.
Yeah, I did.
Who did you meet for the first time?
Terry Cray, I met for the first time. And John Cookson was very, very good to meet up for the first time. Bradley Peach swanned through, and I met up with him for the first time. And there was an Ian who I've...
Ian Crawford from New Zealand and his wife, Jessie.
Yes. And yep. He's not on Facebook or...
No, not on Facebook, but he knows the podcast. He's been on last year's one for about a minute or two.
Right, so, okay.
Shout out to Ian. Hopefully you're listening to this as well. So, yeah, so first night, very excited. Mm. Now we've got to calm down and try and get some sleep, and you will hear more about it next.
Can't wait for the morning when we're meeting up at 6 o'clock. Bradley, if you're listening, 7 o'clock for everybody else, or 8 o'clock. For the actual train. So tomorrow, the sounds of Supernova Saturday. We'll see how we go.
And we're back. And yeah, it's us again. So didn't get many sound grabs at
many?
The Supernova.
We didn't get many.
We didn't get any.
didn't get any. Sorry, guys.
It was chaos, wasn't it?
It was mad. It really was.
It was absolute chaos. I lost bookmarks in the chaos, so I'm going to have to rebuy those from the free store. Hopefully they have some.
Yes.
Wasn't the only ones as well. Someone else we were hearing lost them, and there was stuff that you probably didn't get done. I think you wanted some Jamie Johnson signatures, and you didn't get those.
Yeah, I didn't get to... I meant to see Jamie Johnson at his booth, but I just spent so long at the Fru booth that I didn't get over to Artist Alley until right near the end of the day, by which time he was back at Fru and whatever. I'm happy with what I got off Jamie, so yeah. There's a couple of comics that I was going to get him to sign, but I've already got the signature series of those, to be honest, anyway. Yeah. So
It was... They this year they did a really good job. Fru, they had the double booth. Still probably not big enough.
I think they need a third. Like, I didn't see last year, obviously, but I've said this to a couple of guys, but I think... So for those of you who haven't seen it, we'll post some photos, but basically they had the five artists at different stages sitting along the tables at the front of the booth, and because chumps like us are standing there talking to them and getting sketch covers done and watching the art unfold, we probably blocked Joe Public from the merchandise a little bit. So they seemed to be really busy, and the girls and Renee were out the back sort of taking money the whole time anyway, so... but, like you say, a third booth where you stick the artists around the corner, so you give everyone a chance to go there, buy their merch, whatever, and then walk around the corner and talk to the artists, I think, would be the way to go if they want to expand again.
So, first Supernova you've been to?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, it was good. Busy? It was busy. But like,
lots of people?
Your example of a football game, I think, got me prepared for that. There was a couple of points where after lunch I went right through the middle of the throng, and I regret that. That was probably too full on, and especially by the time I'm carrying my A3 folio of posters and that sort of thing that I've picked up, I probably wasn't real comfortable then. But if you skirt around the outside, there was always plenty.
Best solution: start coughing like you got a disease, and the waters part.
Yeah. No, it was... I really enjoyed it. Lots of people out there in cosplay, which was really cool. We saw Philip, of course, who was on podcast number 67. He was really cool, came to the through booth and got lots of photos with people. There was another Phantom cosplayer as well, which was really cool, a younger sort of a guy. Didn't really stop and talk to you. Did anyone get any photos? Hopefully we did.
No, I didn't.
No, neither did I. We have let you down, folks, as podcasters and as reporters and all the rest of it. We're going to do a write-up and that sort of thing, but in terms of photos and videos and audio, we were too busy, too caught up in the fun.
It was chaos. It was hard to, you know, get some decent quality audio and stuff, but it was good fun. You get any, what was probably your favourite buy from the day?
I am probably going to go a couple of posters, and I feel like you might say the same thing, but a couple of point-of-sale posters from Fru that have clearly come out of the back of the warehouse when they did the move. They were out there for $25 each, which I thought was pretty reasonable. And I know you got a couple of the bigger ones as well, so those are a couple of A3 ones that I picked up.
Yeah, so they were mine. The other one that I was really happy on was the candles.
Yes.
Which we talked about back in December last year.
Long time ago.
Been always meaning to get those, and they had them for $15, so I grabbed a couple of those.
Yeah. Which, as Bradley just pointed out upstairs, is almost half price because it's $5 off the recommended retail, but then you're also not paying postage. So that's almost half price. So
the other, so there was a bit of Phantom stuff this year, more than probably the last couple of years. Yeah, the last couple of years, last year particularly, there was one or maybe two stores that had back issue comics.
Right, okay.
I reckon I counted probably five places that had back issue comics.
Yep, yeah.
A fair few of them had Phantoms, some Charltons and Moonstones and stuff.
You picked
like
up
that.
A couple of those?
I picked up a Charlton with a Don Newton cover. Just absolutely love his art, so that was fairly cheap. A fair few older Frews.
Mm-hmm.
Try and say that 10 times.
Yeah.
Not just at the Frew booth, but also at some of the others.
Yep.
So it was good to kind of have a bit of a flick through there. Prices are obviously Supernova prices.
Yeah.
But overall, it was good to see the Phantom getting a little bit more prominence. There was a bit of Cy Barry artwork in Artist Alley.
Yep.
There was creator Matt from the
Matt
Demon
Kine.
Comic. Yeah. So he had his, and you can... flick through the original art and stuff, so you could kind of see the Phantom resemblance.
Was he selling the original art as well?
I'm not sure if he was selling it, but you could have a bit of a flick through it.
Right.
There was obviously Jamie.
So
yeah, so it was good to see the Phantom getting a bit of a shout out.
Yeah,
I saw a lot of the icon stuff, a lot of the statues.
Yes,
and stuff like that.
I think
that
they did the. We're saying chaos, but it built interest, and I think Frew did it really well, and they had some of the Phantoms Vault stuff there, but not too much. They're just enough to sort of really... They had a couple of display cases with the bust and the icon statue you're talking about, a few other Phantom pieces. And I overheard people or even people came past and said, is this the Phantom booth? Or saying on the phone, I'll meet you at the Phantom booth. So it built the presence of the character, which I thought was really good.
And
there was excitement around having those artists there doing the sketch covers. There was always... It was often two or three deep. And people walking past going, what's that? What's that? There's something going on.
Yeah. And it was good, like they had the Avon novels, some of the Hermes hardcovers and stuff.
I got a couple of them.
And it was good to have those because a lot of people don't get them because of the postage.
Yes.
So you can kind of get them and then not have to worry about the postage as well. So I reckon it's great to see those.
Yeah.
It was a good day. It was busy,
tiring
because there was a lot of walking and a lot of dodging people and stuff like that. But... now it's the third leg, which is the dinner. Are you prepared for the dinner?
I'm dressed, if that's what you mean. I forgot. I'm a bit dirty on myself because I got some really nice Phantom ties for my birthday, and I packed them in the wrong suitcase and didn't bring them. So I'm going tie-less, which is a bit of a shame. But other than that, I'm looking forward to it. I'm keen to see what all the fuss is about. And,
all right. Well, I reckon we'll try and get some audio grabs from the dinner.
Oh, we've got to do a better job.
Hopefully we'll be able to listen to that, and we'll be back for a wrap-up after the dinner.
After the dinner, very good. All right, see you soon.
So, obviously, for the next part of the podcast, we're moving into the sounds of the dinner, the Leafhawk Memorial Bengali Explorers Club dinner. We're going to start with the speech by Dr. Paul Mason, who is the special guest. He is introduced by Richard Fry, and you'll hear him at the beginning, organiser of the show. The raucous applause that you're going to hear about a minute from now is for Glenn Ford, who was held up on the night and unfortunately only joined us just in time to hear Paul's speech at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So poor man was very, very busy, but that's why the crowd goes bananas there. And at the end of this recording, it's a little bit quiet because he's at the far end of the room, but you will hear a short vote of thanks from Terry Cray as well, which I thought was worth including and leaving in. You may remember Terry as one of the voices who contributed to episode 63, the reactions to Kid Phantom.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, first time we've had a doctor arrive at our event. No Bronwyn. Doctor is a courtesy title for the medicos. He's really just a bachelor of medicine.
This way?
Sorry, I've chilled out one over the dead body. guest speaker is a real doctor who lectures in animation at Griffiths University and who is the artist who approves new productions of Kid Phantom. And I have to commend Fru, who realised that we're all getting old. And there's another generation out there who are fixated on video games and computer screens, and they need to be brought into the fold where the real action is. We wish them all the best. And those of us who are approaching our dotage and getting to the stage, we will appreciate the Kid Phantom too. So,
thank you, sir.
Could I please... Oh, please... All right. Silence, please. Well, sort of silence. A round of applause for Dr. Paul Mason.
I'll try to keep it as brief as I can.
If you want to.
Can you hear me out the back?
No
worries. I do tend to stutter a little bit. English is probably not my second or fourth language, however you say. Although I do lecture, I always preface every lecture with a sleep-deprived brain. I probably can't put my sentences together very well. As Rocky Balboa used to say, I'm a little punchy, you know. And on many occasions, I did have a student who would actually fall asleep before I'd even get to roll call. So hopefully I don't do that to any of the folks here. It's a little bit daunting, obviously, getting up in front of people and talking. You spend a lot of time, when you're doing comics, it's very a solitary pursuit, let's call it that. Usually it's very late at night, because I lecture during the day. You spend family time with your loved ones and what have you. Send them off to bed. And then that's when the real work starts. Luckily, being able to draw the Ghost of Walks, or at least the boy that cannot die, perhaps. And you are. You're sitting at the table, little desk lamp.
Bird.
Yes, the birds. I have to juggle the birds because they do get jealous of each other. They hate each other. One's a galah that can probably eat the other one. The other one acts as though he can eat that one. So it's very tenuous, to say the least. So I have to... It's shift work. I give one a couple of hours and then I'll put that one away and then I'll get the other one out, and that one usually wants my attention. It's very difficult. They grab the pens off the table. Now they've eaten a pen or two. There's a couple of Kid Phantom papers with little bird mix out of the corners, trying to put their little stamp on it. So, yes, you are up late at night on quite a lot of the time. So, not much human interaction. So then I get to something like this, and I've got 40 to 50, competent adults to talk to. It's easier for kids, and you can say sharpening your work. Easier when I used to teach Taekwondo as well, as the big man Matty over here can attest to. If you didn't feel like talking, you'd just make them do push-ups or something. So it was a little bit of a struggle to try to figure what I was going to talk about. I guess... I might keep it to, obviously, what brings me here in terms of you guys listening to what I have to talk about, which is the Phantom, obviously. I had to laugh. A lot of people were saying that they got into the Phantom just by chance that they, TV wasn't around at the time, and then they started to read a lot of books and then fell in love with the Phantom comic strips and newspapers and that sort of thing. I was in a situation at the time where my mother and I were living with friends, and they didn't have a TV. I think the only thing they had closest to a TV was an aquarium. That was the centrepiece of the lounge. It was quite a big aquarium. It was probably about as long as this table. Full of different breeds of fish. It was a little bit like Neighbours if there were crustaceans. And much more engaging. So, but he had a nice big pile of comic books behind his couch, and I was only in year three at primary school, and I discovered this box full of reprints of the Furusai Barry editions of Fubles and McCoys and that sort of thing. Of course, being at that age, I didn't pay attention to all those little details of who the artists and who the writers were. I was just engaged with this jungle adventurer on the front. And I guess there was a few things that kind of come to mind at that particular point. Of course, being, you know, the 90s, and we had a lot of Marvel characters running around and that sort of thing. You know, oh, there's a man that has a skull, just like the Punisher. What's going on here? Oh, hey, I like this guy, you know, because he's got two guns clipped to his belt and just uses to punch him anyway. Fantastic. Yeah. You know? The purple always intrigued me. I always thought that, you know, oh, hey, he's that guy in the tree over there. We meet online at the pirates, you know, that sort of thing. So the more I got into it, the more I just fell in love with the simplistic design of the character, even at that particular age. Flash forward years later, I always wanted to be a cartoonist as a kid. I used to scribble pictures of the Phantom on folders for school, and my mother would say, why don't you draw an apple? Why don't you draw a tree? And I'm like, trees don't punch people in the face, mate. It's much more exciting. You know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. So, years later, I came to a bit of a crossroads when I was a teenager. I started earning pocket money. I could buy comic books, or I could start martial art lessons. I couldn't afford both at the time. You know, whomping people with Phantom comics wasn't going to protect me in school, so unfortunately, the Phantom went away for a little while. I did martial arts for many, many years. Went off to university. First day out of university, I just finished my first university degree, which was a fine arts major. I always still had that love of comics, so I wandered into a new station again, just to see what was going on, what was doing in the world of comic books. And there my purple friend was once again, so bit me again in terms of that bug. So gathering up a lot of material over those years. From there, I went off and did a few part-time jobs. I worked as an aerobics instructor at a martial arts school.
Not in the lead, I don't think.
Yeah, it was boxer sauce. Yeah, boxer sauce.
Sure, it was full.
No. It wasn't Billy Blanks. It wasn't Billy Blanks. I wasn't rocking up with it. Why does Billy Blanks wear hand wraps? He's not hitting anything. He's not hitting. Anyway, I'm sorry. Bright yellow, too. From there, I went up and studied animation at uni, completed animation. Realised that, you know, I draw 24 drawings, that's only 1 second of footage. That sucked. So, but I still had my love and affinity for drawing and telling stories and doing comic books, so I started my own. And essentially it was a World War II character running around in the jungles of New Guinea, wearing a mask. Guns on the belt. Sounding familiar, right? There was a lot of tropes that I subconsciously injected into this character. I wanted an Australian superhero, essentially, with a little bit of, you know, history. Jack Kirby became my hero. Steve Ditko as well. Stanley, not so much. But definitely Kirby was in the forefront of all those sorts of things. So a lot of my childhood was spent watching action films, so I tried to inject those aspects into a comic book that I wish that, you know, in this country we could produce. You know what I mean? And fortunately enough, that started to gain a little bit of traction. It appeared on TV, selling insurance of all things, Yui Insurance, TV commercial. They filmed it here in King's Comics. Two blocks from here, we all know King's Comics, right? So they shut the store down, they put up all the Black House Comics paraphernalia. Had a young guy behind the counter talking about Soldier Legacy like anyone actually gave a damn about it. So it was really cool. Built a little statue and everything with the arms folded. I know. It's more of a homage than I realised, particularly when I was fortunate enough to get this opportunity to be drawing the Phantom. And I went back and sort of flicked through some of those old Soldier books and went, oh, Jesus, there's a Garand proxy here in everything. it was quite funny. But those Black House years were very, very fortunate. I think everything's very serendipitous in that sense. I met a gentleman by the name of Christopher Sequeira, which some of you would know the name of now that you've hopefully have read Phantom by Gaslight Part 1 or the issue 0 in the Supernova magazine. Chris was one of the guys that sort of pushed me to the forefront of, hey, this scribbling stuff you do is actually all right. You should pursue this. And we ended up being Black House stablemates. He was doing a Victorian era Dark Detective Sherlock Holmes comic book series. And I had my Soldier Legacy character, and he said, hey, we should do a crossover. Wouldn't that be cool? And I'm like, yeah, that's great, except this guy, you know, we're talking 60 years difference in terms of
the timeline.
Thank you. Words. I appreciate it. In the comic book, so we had to come up with a Victorian era hero with a mask running around in the streets of the Victorian era dealing with those sorts of bad guys. And thankfully, I guess it was one of those things that Chris always sort of kept in his head. You know, he's very much a Sherlock Holmes and aficionado, which most people know. He rings me up one day last year and says, hey, I've been talking to Fruit. They're under new management now. You know, I believe that, Glenn, you know Chris for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've never dated, but...
They're not exclusive. And yeah, I managed to put a little bit of a folio together with some Soldier Legacy stuff. That little story that we did, the crossover story, was part of the package, some black and white stuff. I did a closest thing I had to a recent version of the Phantom that I'd drawn was the old Will Eisner character, the Spirit. Anyone familiar with the Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I had the Spirit like punching out a guy. And I thought, mask guy, punching out a guy, yeah, here we go. And sent that all off. And I was getting on a plane to San Diego to do the Comic-Con and what have you. And I got the email through Chris saying, I want to see how you draw this Phantom character. And I believe Glenn touched base with me and said, this is this character that we're thinking about producing called Kid Phantom. Sent me a bit of detail. But that was essentially it. I had a name. So I'm like, all right, Phantom as a kid, this would be cool. I saw the pitch, I absolutely loved the pitch. I think that little gap, and I believe I talked with the podcast guys, Dan and Jermaine, that little gap of 6 or 7 years that nothing has ever been chronicled about it is beautiful, masterstroke. So I'm sitting there at the hotel, every night after San Diego, just scribbling pictures of the Phantom, essentially all sort of shapes and sizes, trying to figure out how I wanted to visualize this thing, and particularly the pitch. The pitch that I had, there was one image of it, and it was a beautifully drawn image. I loved it to death, but I was describing it to someone recently. Do you guys remember? In the 90s, there was a news article, 60 Minutes article as well. There was a Russian father that was bodybuilding his, like, 10-year-old son or something like that, and saying, oh, no, he just eats power bar. Just injecting those power bars. So this little kid looked like a man's body with a little kid's head, and that was essentially what the first pitch was, and I loved it, but I thought... I like the idea of a little you know how you get a big sort of husky or a big puppy dog, and it's big, it's lanky, but it's got these big paws, You know it's going to grow up to be a massive killer one day or a massive dog one day. And that was essentially what I was thinking about when I was scribbling those early sort of kid phantom drawings. You know, skinny, lanky kid growing into his body, unsure of himself like most kids are. As much as I love the idea of the handsome, you know, kid Walker as he was growing up, I obviously still do the big smile in it. I didn't want him to have all the good breaks, you know. I want him to grow up like an ugly duckling growing into a swan. I kind of like that idea, and I was hoping that on some subconscious level, if the kid's looking at it, he kind of digs it too, you know. He's got the big ears, the goofy haircut, you know, even the little freckles or whatever, you know. He's not perfect yet, but he's learning in that sense. That was the mindset behind that design. Plus the fact that, you know, kids these days, Ben 10, all those sorts of cartoons, all ages Pixar was a sort of a project that I was really kind of concerned with in that sense. And we kind of just snowballed from there. It's been a lot of fun, and what I really enjoyed about the process now is that gentleman down on the end there, Andrew Constant, he'll be on board as the series writer from the next issue that's coming out.
Defacing the work.
That's all right. Giving it some credibility, I think. Which will be essentially a lot of fun. I'm very much enjoying it. I guess the one thing that I was really nervous about was the fact that there's such a big legacy behind the character, and there's such a definitive visual approach to the character. You meet people that... they may not necessarily read comics, but they read Phantom, and that's it. And there's, you know, most of those people, obviously, you understand, we're all in the room, we all love the Phantom. And then you just get those people that are so dead set against any change that you might necessarily bring in whatsoever. You put a hard edge on something, a little bit stylized, and nope! Terrible, get it out. This is abomination. Someone said I made a mockery of the character based on one image. There was quite a lot of stuff that was kind of flying around. And I see people shaking their heads because I agree. Like, look, it's fine. Like, you can have opinions. It's absolutely fantastic. But just trying to reach the next generation, that's all it is. If the little kids, we got into it when we were younger. But times are changing, kids are absorbing so much more than what we all used to. I think that was just the approach behind it. So, hopefully it has very long legs. We'll see how we go. Yeah. Pressure's on you. That's fine, yeah.
2010 result.
Exactly.
Nice to meet you all. I want another beer.
I got a hand up. We'll take some questions.
A comment. Yes. I have an 11-year-old cousin, and he loves Kid Phantom. So look at what the kids want to do. That's the simple answer.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you very much for those compliments. I do appreciate it. I'm not very good at taking compliments, but I am.
I also love what you're getting.
Yeah. Absolutely happy with that.
It's passing it on to the next generation. That's the fandom all over.
That's what I figured. Like, the way that I figured it is, like, we all see... The Batman from The Dark Knight is not the Batman from Batman Brave and the Bold. Otherwise, Channel 9 would be getting a lot of angry emails. And a lot of, you know, awkward questions.
It's a brand. It doesn't hurt the brand.
Do you want to know
it
how
passes it on to the next generation.
Mummy, do you want to know how the Joker got those scars? Yeah. You know what I mean? He made a pencil disappear. There's many incarnations, many visuals, but at its core essence... hopefully people can see the love behind it. Particularly, you know, we love Lee Falk's work so much in that sense. We want to do it as much justice as possible, but expand on that. You know, the original Spider-Man origin story was 11 pages. Now, they've done 6 issues, 12 issues. How many Hollywood movies, you know what I mean, retelling those stories, telling for hours and hours. There's so much that you can expand and weave within that context, but as long as you keep the core values of what that character is, and in particular to the Phantom, what I love about the Phantom is Everyone goes on about, oh, Batman, you know, he's the best hero because he doesn't have powers. He's like you and me. Yeah. I wish he was like me, more with the billions of dollars would be lovely. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it kind of is a little bit ridiculous in that sense where there are a lot of billionaires in the world. Haven't seen a Batman yet. Shall we kill some parents and see what happens? Too soon? He doesn't exist.
Jesus, Paul.
I'm not saying that I'd fare very well moving out into a remote jungle and living in a cave for a while.
Oh, you have treasure, so that's alright.
Yeah. But what I like about it is that there was this sacred oath, and he dedicates his life to this particular journey, and yet he still can put a smile on his face. It just seems like Batman just holds on to that angst. Like, yes, they died 30 years ago. Smile! You're a billionaire! Anyway, I think I've talked way too much, and you've been very gracious listening to my nonsense. I just want to thank... Jeez, where do I start? I want to thank everyone for having me here, basically, and putting up with me. She's probably reminded everybody in the room of that. You have to, every time you read a kid fandom, you have to realise the months of anguish and me not being in the same room, or me being upstairs while Amanda has an empty bed. They used to say about Jack Kirby that Jack Kirby was a two-man operation. Roz Kirby obviously being the more functional of the two. Kirby wasn't allowed to drive. He got the keys taken away from him because he daydreamed about a storyline and run off the road.
Don't forget he was a smoker too.
He was a smoker, I have learned not to do that.
Cigars.
That's right. Yep, exactly. But he was cruel. He killed Nazis. He can do whatever he likes. I want to thank the Fruit Crew for putting faith in me. They took a chance on the fact that I don't draw like side barriers, which I would love to. Richard is a good doctor for having me here too. Kath as well for putting a good word in. Andrew for being my... I don't know. We'll see how we go. We'll check the sales on the next podcast. No, honestly. Thank you everybody for the kind words. I'll be off.
While we're having dessert, you're going to have to miss out for a few minutes, Paul. He's going to draw a couple of instant drawings, which we'll be auctioning later. And Antonio will be auctioning with the live auction for the most desirable items after dessert. So during dessert, you have the opportunity to go and bid for... please remember why we're doing this. So don't look to save money. Please look to spend.
Yes. That's good.
Including the Fan of Comics since about 1953 from when I could read. But when I'm going to be saying things out of school, I'd just like to thank you for all the work that you put in, and the other people like Glenn and Bradley and Joyful that behind the scenes and the other people to make it in as so much of a success. And I'd just like to say thanks very much.
Appreciate it, but I think we get our pleasure from seeing you enjoy yourself and raising money for the hospital. But I think that most of the praise today should go to poor old Glenn and has been wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sorry.
It's
not
So after the speeches, there was a lot more mingling and wandering around the silent auction and that sort of thing. Jermaine, in particular, was clever enough to have his phone out and record a couple of conversations. So we're going to hear now from Dudley and then finish off with a really brief chat with Paul Mason again as he exited the room. To put some of this in context, it's going to be important for you to know, if you haven't realised already from reading your issue of 1785, The Phantom Cult, that our very own Stephen East has finally received his Frou-Crou badge, which he, as you know, has been chasing for quite a while. All of that's explained in the forum letters in 1785, so you can go back and read that. Jermaine asks Dudley a little about that. The chat with Dudley Hogarth, publisher extraordinaire at Frou, starts with Jermaine asking the question about the significance of the weekend, I suppose, and the impact of socialising with fans for Dudley himself and for Frou generally.
So,
I work in a very sort of closed environment, and I don't actually have a lot of communication with people. And then when I come to one of these events where I'm dealing with the Phantom faithful, I suddenly realise that everything I'm doing and everything that we as a Frou-Crou are doing is having an effect. Today, out there at that show, I saw a stand that was twice the size. I saw queues of people engaged and interested in what we were doing, and I suddenly realised that all of the detraction, and there are detractors. There are detractors to the point where I sometimes wonder whether it's even worth bothering, because you do take it personally. It's really hard not to take it personally, and I think some people want you to take it personally. They make it personal.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've learned with the passage of time, and I've been in the job long enough now to let that wash over me and what I love about a night like tonight is that I'm surrounded by people who are just keen about the character, and they're not here to bag change. They're not here to be negative about anything. They're here because they love the character and they want to see it continue. And I really believe that at the heart of it, all of the detractors are really in the same place.
Yeah.
I think they come from the same place. They're just so locked into what they believe,
yeah,
that they can't open their eyes to the possibility that this Phantom could be more and has to be more.
Yeah.
Lee Falk started something. He lit a bonfire that's raged across the world for generations. But we are in a different age, and that's why we've brought in people like Paul Mason. That's why we've brought in people like Jason Paulus. That's why we're trying to do, for the first time ever, our own stuff here in Australia using Australian artists. And it takes nothing away. And you need to understand this. It takes nothing away from the traditional Phantom. Nothing. Because that still stands. We will always honour that tradition. We'll keep doing the Collective Replica series. we will keep doing reprints in the annuals, but we will not reprint endlessly. And that is gone. Those days are gone. And I'm sounding a little passionate, but if you want reprints endlessly, you're in the wrong place. Because we're looking for new stuff that's exciting, that breaks new ground, that creates a conversation, that creates a new community, and builds a new future.
Totally agree.
So what about Steve's Free Crew badge?
Oh, look, I'm sorry I gave Steve the Free Crew badge, because I was really, really enjoying Steve's frustration. But it was a little cruel. But he was so desperately responsive, and it was so delightful to listen to the angst. And I gather, I heard that when Sammy J got one, that just sent him over the top. So I'd be really interested to hear his response to that.
I still want a crew badge. I'm now one man's journey to get himself a free crew badge.
Well, all you've got to do is write a award-winning 1-hour comedy set about the Phantom. You saw Sammy J's photo last night?
I saw. Did he get a free crew badge?
That photo is him getting presented with a free crew.
Oh, bullshit!
What did he do, David?
He's just been chewing a bloody Phantom-themed show around for a couple of months. I've been on this bloody thing for how long? 2-3 years? Given through all the raps when bloody Jermaine and Joe kept knocking them down. Where's me? You can put that on the bloody... Yeah, I'm going to look on Facebook and have a look at this photo.
But honestly, Steve, he deserves it. He's earned it. He earned it ages ago. But what he did was he kept on trying. He kept on trying. And I've always said, I've often said with the Fruit Crew badge, if at first you don't succeed, keep trying again. And I just felt that he'd reached a point where I really had to honour it, that pledge, because the guy had desperately tried again and again, and I'd heard him do it on the podcast, and I actually heard him go, "This is a great idea. I'll send that in. They'll give me a free crew badge. I'll suggest that they divide up the subscription up so that it's more affordable for pensioners." Oh, here we go, I thought to myself. Yeah. To make it more affordable, so it's only $43 a quarter or something along those lines. And when I got the suggestion, I sort of shelved it. And I went, we're not going to do that. And because we probably aren't, it's too hard administratively to break it into those sort of segments. But then when I heard his review that he did of the Kid Phantom, when Steve did the review of the Kid Phantom with his little boy, and I have no idea how old the boy was, but by the sound of him, he didn't sound like he was that old, maybe 5 or 6?
Yeah, about 5 or 6, yeah.
5 or 6? And it was so gorgeous. And it was such an honest review from a 5 or 6-year-old, young Tom, I went, wow, that's fantastic. And to be honest, I'm sorry, but I think Dan and his boy earned it on the same basis. But I didn't want to give it to Dan and Arthur?
Angus.
Angus, sorry, Dan and Angus, because I didn't want to steal Steve's thunder. So, Dan and Angus, oh, you won. But this one's for Steve and Tom.
You've probably just made his year. Thank you. Paul, how are you going, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm tired. My brain is tapped out, but I'm going okay.
How did you find your first dinner?
It was wonderful. There was much more love than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be a lynch mob with torches and pitchforks and all sorts of things, but no, everyone was so lovely. I guess it's growing up with the values of the Phantom, you know, it's people who are kind and accommodating and, you know, raise a lot of money for kids, and that's all I care about. So.
No worries, mate. Well, you better get going. Thanks again.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to see you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother.
See ya.
All right, and we're back, and it is Jermaine and I now, and we're back in the hotel room, and it's 1:15 in the morning. We're both surprisingly copus mentis and can talk and stuff, but it's been a big day. How was your night, Jermaine?
Tiring, to be honest. Absolutely tiring, but you always have a ball. You know, it normally takes... I so wish I took Monday off.
Yes.
To recover, but yeah. I can't because my manager's back, so... Can't take the Monday off.
Tip of the hat to Jermaine's manager if you're listening.
But how good was tonight?
Oh, it was really good. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Yeah.
So as you're listening to this, you would have heard a couple of sound bites from Dudley.
And Paul Mason, his speech. Yep. And I thought Paul spoke really, really well. Like, he spoke from the heart. He didn't use any notes. He just stood away from the podium and didn't need a microphone, didn't use... I think he might have had some notes he glanced down, but he didn't.
Yep.
He spoke really, really well.
Very nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah, but he worked into it well, and he took comments from the crowd. Jamie Johnson chipped in a little bit, and he took a couple of crowd comments really well, I thought. So he spoke well, and I think he really communicated what they are trying to achieve with Kid Phantom to what was a really receptive audience.
Mm. And the passion... As you would have heard from Dudley, Paul, the passion is there, and I think that's what you love about talking to all of the creators and artists and writers that we have talked to, and all the people behind the scenes and stuff, is the passion they have is what connects us.
Yep.
The passion for the character, passion for the fandom. It's the reason why we spend thousands of money just to get here and participate and what we spend. So yeah, it's great. So Dan, I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Yes, okay.
As someone who has now come to a dinner and spent this, done the Mecca pilgrimage.
Yes.
Overall thoughts?
Oh, worth doing.
Worth doing. Yeah. You glad you've done it?
100%. And I'm actually considering a payment plan. What's the an automatic transfer from my pay every week into a separate account so that I start automatically saving for next year, because I think this needs to become an annual thing, no doubt.
Yep. I reckon Angus will enjoy himself as well, mate.
he'll
definitely enjoy himself at Supernova.
He loves Supernova, and but then, like, to have him... I'd have to have a babysitter for the night, and that involves bringing my wife down, and then she wants to come to the dinner, and then we need a different babysitter, and it's a nightmare. It's a headache, so... maybe a few years from now.
So, going into the dinner, you had a bit of an idea. Did it live up to the expectations?
It did. It was what I expected, but it was also not what I expected at different times. So, it was probably less structured, I think, than I probably expected. But by the same token... Antonio Didio's
auctioneering.
I thought he was better than I expected. He was probably slicker than I had been led to believe. So whether he toned down for this year or not, I don't know. But
he was very, very reined in tonight.
Right. Okay.
It's fun listening to
his
stories about his girlfriends.
Right.
didn't give him any of those present. And his children and stuff like that. Last year there was a story about the car. Oh, was it last year or the year before he lost his car, but then he was looking in the wrong car park or something like that. So
and he worked that into an auctioneering speech.
Yeah, exactly. So now, did you buy anything?
Yeah, I did. As it turned out, I picked up two different things in the silent auctions, and they probably were two of the three cheapest items that went on the night, I suspect, actually. But I'm happy with what I got. I picked up a pair of stubby coolers from Bradley Peach's Lavington Library Museum and went halves with that with Keith. So good on you, Keith, for coming up with that idea, and we've ended up with stubby cooler each. And I also picked up a 1951 Australian women's mirror that's got a Phantom comic in it in the middle there somewhere. So, and what about you? Did you buy anything?
No.
What?
No.
What?
I must admit, I was off tonight. Like at the end of the night, Richard goes, "Jermaine, you owe this money." I said, "I didn't buy anything." And he goes, "What? What do you mean you didn't buy anything?" So, no.
Wow.
There was a few things that I wanted, but
nothing.
Maybe it's parenthood making me a very sensible and mature person, but I was very sensible tonight.
Well, okay. So what were the things that you were tempted by?
Okay, so there was the Brazil mask and the teapot.
Yeah,
they were the two that like I was dead set.
The Monkeys of Melbourne teapot.
Yeah, Monkeys of Melbourne teapot, and then there was a couple of the originals from Paul Mason's, and I dabbled in those. The Stephen Pinazzo.
You and I were bidding against each other for a little while there.
Hamlet thing, and then John. Big spender, him and Terry tonight, big spender.
Yeah, no.
Jumped over the top and said, "Tough luck, boys." Pushed us away with his elbows and said, "I'm having this."
John and Terry both had good nights tonight and got some good pieces for their money too, I thought.
Yes. There was a lot of original art.
Yeah.
So we had Sal Velluto, we had Paul Mason, I think we even had an Alex Saviak, we had a Stephen Panazio. Yep. Sorry if I'm butchering everyone's names. Antonio Lemos.
There was a bunch of Paul Masons, actually. There was probably six or seven of those. And then Antonio one. That was a nice piece.
Yeah, that kind of slipped by the wayside. And so there was a few early throughs. And then there was some mid-range stuff for people to buy, which I think is great because it's well and good for the people that have got the big pockets to go for the...
Because there was stuff that went for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
But there was also stuff... Like, up front, I spent less than 50 on the two things that I won. So there's something for everyone, I suppose.
Yeah, which is great. Like, I remember the first dinner I ever went to, there was, like, six items.
Yeah.
And the cheapest one was $100 for a poster or something like that.
Right.
You know, like a $10 poster.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all for charity and stuff like that, but it's... It's good to have some stuff where everyone can have a bit of it. So if you're going there with a small budget because you spent all your money at the free booth, at least you know you can have fun bidding, which is what it's about. And it's all about raising money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So afterwards, so what was probably the highlight of the night for you?
The highlight of the night, I really enjoyed watching Paul Mason sketch. Like he did two sketches, and we put I put a little video up on Facebook, and I'll try and attach that to this post as well, I think. But watching him sketch and watching that creative process take place and on massive big butcher paper, that was really good. I also got a kick for Terry when he won the Sal Velluto sketch, the original sketch. That was... It was a really nice piece, and I thought it was probably going to go for a lot more money than it did. I think he got it for an absolute steal, and I was really pleased for him that he picked that up. So that was nice.
Definitely.
What about you?
Probably catch... Like, for me, I enjoy catching up with people, hearing people's stories, sharing experiences with them, and stuff like that. Like, you talk to someone and they're like, you know, they'll talk about something and, you know, somehow you'll find a connection, whether it's the Phantom or St. Yeah. Girls
or whatever. Like, all like Paul Mason was like, oh, use the podcast. His, I think it was his mum was going, oh, use the podcast, yeah, boys, and stuff like
actually,
that.
Actually, his partner came and talked to me for a bit too.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, having that connection, having something to talk to and stuff like that, it was great.
And then you were seated really quite close to a lot of the creative team from through. So yep.
I had a very good conversation with a couple of them, Shane Foley, who actually listens to this podcast. So shout out to Shane.
Hello, Shane. Good on you.
A sneak peek, he will be on later with a couple of cool little things that he is going to do. Yeah,
oh, good.
He's already agreed to come to the podcast. Had a great chat with Dudley. What you've listened before was probably about a minute.
Dudley was on fire. Because he's going on holidays tomorrow or the next day, and I think he's in holiday mode. So yep. he was a happy man. He was a bit relaxed, and I was really pleased to catch up with Dudley.
Yes. An amazing guy to talk to.
Especially
when you're getting mixed up with some of the others. Like, I reckon some of the meetings that like Dudley and like Glenn have with like Andrew Constant and Paul Mason and a couple of these other guys, I reckon nothing gets actually discussed in those meetings.
They must switch on Game Face at some point. But
because those guys like. They're like a piece of a pot. I reckon they'll just go for it.
Oh, Andrew's good for a chat, isn't he?
He is. Andrew Constant was there as well. He is quality.
Yep.
I also enjoyed talking to people who at Supernova and at the Olympic dinners. Yes. Who listened to the podcast and stuff? So a couple, you know, shout out to Anthony, Sean, Shane.
And a special shout out to Anthony for me because Anthony said a couple of really nice things to us, and that's almost the highlight of my weekend. Yeah. And I've said that to you already, but
and you know what I like? He had the courage to say he doesn't agree with us.
Yeah, exactly. No, and why would he? Like, we're a bunch of idiots who just gibber on, and we might say some intelligent things, and we probably say a lot that is not intelligent, but. No, it was good to hear from a couple of people in that way.
We were like flies on the wall when all the creators were talking.
Yeah.
And there's some big things which are going to keep a lot of people happy, which we'll discuss in future podcasts as they get announced.
Yep. I like Jamie Johnson was very excited about his triptych covers that are coming up, and he's about to, like the layouts are happening this week, I think he was saying, and we certainly hope to get Jamie on the podcast soon.
He's already agreed to come on the podcast and give us a couple of things that he wants to discuss.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then Glenn and Dudley have agreed in principle to come on the podcast.
fingers are crossed. I've got fingers and toes crossed for that. I hope that comes through.
But I don't know whether they acknowledgeably let slip, but we're not going to mention it on the podcast until it's been announced, and then we'll discuss it in detail. But there's some cool stuff, which I'm excited about. Yeah. For the people that are not Sydney-siders or...
Can't afford the thousands to get here.
Or can't afford the... Maybe not thousands, but 1,000 or 1,500.
Sorry, my wife, if you're listening. Tens. Tens of dollars it costs to get here.
That's it. I think you spent more time on the phone shuffling funds and stuff like that. Does your wife know you got no super left?
I may have remortgaged twice.
I did hear that... Fruit are looking at taking the show on the road. So that will be cool, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of excited
fans. No promises and no venues, but they are aware that people want to see them. And
Talked about a bit about some cool stuff with Kid Phantom and all that.
Yeah.
I actually pitched a couple of ideas to Andrew Constant, and he kind of goes, oh, you got an idea or two that I might try and work in, so...
Historic plot ideas.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. If they come to fruition, everyone will know about it.
Tell me right now, what's one idea that if it appears in the Kid Phantom, we'll know was yours?
Kid Chick Phantom.
Kid Chick Phantom.
Whether it could be Julie, it could be Diana.
That's actually a really good idea.
Of course it's a good idea.
I'd like... Young, but the problem is Diana's, what, 4 years older than he is?
No, younger.
4 years younger. So it won't fit her. She won't be able to wear his outfit.
Yeah, well, all right. Look, it was a good idea at the time.
That's Paul Mason's problem. We can work it out. She fits into it. Okay, no, I'll pay that. That's a good idea.
So, yeah, so great time coming again?
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yep. Well, my wife's already promised that I've got to come next year so I can wear a tie. So,
did you record that?
She sent it to me in a text. I can print it.
That's it. Print it. So when she goes, oh, I'm not sure about it, you can say, but Harry, look at this.
You gave me tacit permission a year ago. very good.
So overall, whole weekend overall. So we got Friday night, Saturday...
Yep.
Saturday night and all that. Did it live up to the expectation?
It did. Like, I don't know if I'm too in the moment of it now to really be able to look back and judge. And I'll obviously write up my experiences at Phantom Mecha Weekend web page at some point or a blog post. And I've taken some notes for that, but I probably, if I was going to go back and do it again, I probably would go to Supernova on the Friday as well, because I didn't see enough of Supernova today. I spent too much time at the Fru booth and not enough time elsewhere, so I think I'd go on the Friday.
Yeah.
Bradley and Joyful have taught me that, if nothing else. Yep. They were there Friday and spent some cash and whatever, but they've seen a lot more than what we did, so that probably answers your question. I want to do more.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you raise a good point where you almost have to do that.
Yeah.
Because like, I felt like I don't buy stuff in the artist alley.
Yeah.
You know, and I do buy some stuff. I picked up a couple of things today and stuff like that. But I love going down there and checking it out. And, you know, I spent an hour or two down there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a must do to go down to Artist Alley, because you find stuff and stuff like that. But
there are some people doing some really cool things that are off the grid.
And you want to go and support them, or at least tell them that they're doing a great job or nice and stuff like
that. I don't know if we mentioned today, but Matt Kine, we did mention him. I wish I'd gone and seen him. I didn't have the time for that. So again,
a funny story.
Yeah.
Going down to Artist Alley.
Yep.
Bumped into a young artist who did the Soldier Legacy. This is probably 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yeah,
so that's where I first met Paul Mason.
Right.
Was 4 years ago, going down Artist Alley, looking at the stuff, and I said, this is nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I brought it. He did a Phantom sketch for me. I think he said it was the... It's probably done others, so it might not be correct, but I think
he said it was the first Phantom sketch he ever did.
Probably, yeah. And
there you go. So you just don't know who you're going to meet and who they're going to turn out to be.
Exactly. And then 4 years later, he's now a Fru fave.
Yeah.
With a PH, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So, finishing off, of course we must...
Dawn's coming, so we probably should wrap up.
So, of course, you've got to thank the Fru crew for a great job at Supernova.
Yep.
Although the wives are not going to agree, because they're going to be getting some nasty surprises.
So this is why you shuffle money 17 times in the bank account. So I don't know where it's gone and which bit's been spent and which bit's now on the mortgage.
I'm proud to say that I am coming home with
Taking money home. I just saw Jermaine count cash, like on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Normally, I don't even have enough money for the shuttle to get there or something like that, but I'm taking money home.
Yeah, no, you've done well, and I've got enough money to have lunch tomorrow, so that's a plus.
Bradley and Joyful for all the work that they do.
Along
with Glenn with all the stuff with the dinner and stuff.
The programs and the placemats and the napkins and the coasters and it was just amazing the amount of work that those guys put in. Mm. And hats off to them, because it wouldn't be. That made it the Phantom dinner, other than just a dinner. You sit down and there's a Phantom placement, there's a Phantom serviette and that sort of stuff. So that makes it a Phantom.
And it's a great experience. Little memento to take home and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Because what we do is every dinner you've got one of those, and then it was like you remember memories because the little
Well, and these ones are all Paul Mason art too, so you're always going to pick that up and go, oh, that's the one that Paul Mason was at. So,
and then it will remind you of the stories and stuff like that. And then also a huge shout out to Richard, who runs the night and tries to rein everyone in and stuff like that. So, yeah, great night. If you're listening to this and you always umming and ahhing about coming, I reckon.
Try and get there.
Try and get there.
Yeah. Oh, and I would say, and I said to Richard tonight, but I'll say it publicly here, but to Richard and to Antonio for all the organisation that they do, and Richard in particular, I think, massive hats off for making this happen and for the fundraising that you do for Westmead Children's Hospital, and we'll make sure that we post the photo.
I think they said about 60?
60 grand over the journey that they've raised for so far. So that's a massive effort for a bunch of Phantom fans who just sit together and have a meal. To also raise that sort of money through donations and through auction pieces and that sort of thing is just phenomenal. And yeah, anyone who's listening to this and a couple of people have commented on Facebook, oh, how do I get tickets to the dinner or whatever, get in touch with us via the contact us button on Chronicle Chamber there, and we will let you, we'll send Richard's email address to you. You get on the mailing list and you'll get all the information about it as it gets organised each year.
Exactly. And you know what? I was not the youngest person there for once.
No, you're getting old.
I am getting old. It's good. Like seriously, for the last couple of dinners, I've been the youngest person there, so it's good to see that there was a couple of 84 people born in 84 and stuff like that. And I think there was a couple of others that I reckon might be a bit younger as well, so it was good.
Yep.
I got to get out of the crash.
Yes. No, well, you were the oldest kid in the crash.
The oldest kid in the crash, So, So thank you everyone for listening. Any questions or anything like that on the about the night, or you want to get in touch, like put on the mailing list and all that, as Dan said, we will help you with that. And happy Phantoming.
Happy Phantoming, everyone.
500 years ago, he washed ashore the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And upon the skull of the man who killed his dad, he said, I'm mad, I must eradicate piracy, injustice and cruelty, and all my sons will follow me. So evildoers will believe that this man cannot die.
The Phantom!
The ghost who walks!
The Phantom!
Enemies beware, the Phantom's always there, but you won't mind the Phantom. He fights.